The prophet Jonah is mentioned in the second book of Kings. This is a story about him. There's very little of his words of prophecy. It's a narrative, and his life is a preaching. And there are two things here. One is the nature of repentance, which is why we have the text here in Lent, to get us ready to learn what it means to repent for our sins. And the second is to care about everybody else repenting. Nineveh, you know, was a Assyrian city. They were the former conquerors of Israel. This text is probably written in the 5th century. God sent Jonah up to them, to the enemies. It's like saying to somebody, go preach in Baghdad and tell everybody they have to turn from their sins. Or go preach in Seoul in Korea, or some, you know, go preach someplace. And you get an idea, and which is the deepest thing about the book of Jonah. You get a glimpse into God's heart. He cares about everybody. He wants everybody to turn from sin, be free of it, and come to receive his forgiveness. And so, the book, as it's written, is a sort of narrow-minded, a satire about the narrow-mindedness of the Jews after the exile. They only cared about themselves. Not every single one, of course. And God had this book written, you see, in the 5th century, to say, look, now, there are embellishments in this book of Jonah, without a doubt, to make it as striking as possible. But let's look at first, God wants them all to repent. Well, what's that mean? What does repentance mean? What do we do when we repent? Well, there's many levels of repentance. One is, I'm scared to get punished. So I'm sorry. Not bad. Better than nothing. And that'll keep you out of hell. You know, I'm sorry, I wish I'd never done it. Now, behind that is a notion for another time. It's our acts that make us who we are. Interior and exterior. Our acts make us who we are. And if we don't renounce and turn from the acts that are wrong, we become wrong. And so, the first thing about repentance, you see, is I recognize that. And if I don't know God very well, I'm just saying, I'm sorry, well, I'll never do it again, you know. And God will take that. It's so far from what he'd like, but he'll take it. What he would like is what the saints do. They see their whole life in the light of the mercy in the eyes of Jesus. And in there, they see the true nature of sin and how really bad it is. A vision that they couldn't stand if it weren't for seeing it in the mercy of God. And so they weep. And that's the gift of tears. It's a gift. It's a charismatic gift. Just like the gift of groaning. It's a charismatic gift. It's a gift. We can't be that sorry for our sins because we're too stupid and too selfish. We'd like to be. And the Lord will give us that gift. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. I've mentioned before, in the back of the missal in the old days, there was a prayer for the gift of tears. And it said, Lord, you can get water out of a rock. So surely you can bring water to my eyes. You can pierce my heart so much that I really weep for my sins. Now that's real repentance, isn't it? That's not, I'm sorry, I hope you don't hit me again. This is, oh my Lord, I see who you are, I see what I've done, and I'm overwhelmed by your mercy. I'm overwhelmed by your mercy. That's repentance. Now remember, some form of this repentance and contrition is necessary for the sacrament of prayer reconciliation. We just don't go recite our sins, get a blessing, and hope for the best. We have to acknowledge our sins. That's the, of course. But we have to be sorry. And sometimes it takes time to pray for that. And we're all sorry. But the deeper that sorrow goes, the more powerful the sacrament can be. Because even that sorrow is already a work of God in us. Just as the penance is a work of Christ in us as well. It's part of the sacrament, whatever we do for a penance. And it's Christ in us making up for sin, as he did on the cross and still pours out on the world. So to pray for the gift of tears, whether we actually cry tears or not, to pray for the gift of being so overwhelmed by the mercy of God and seeing what we've done that we weep. That doesn't come just from, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It comes from a gift. You see how much we need the Holy Spirit? We can't even repent enough to get back in good shape with God without the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's repentance. Now, Jonah was sent up there to Nineveh to do that. Now, Nineveh, as I say, was the city of the enemy. Former enemy, still enemy. And God said, go and tell them. Now, you know, in the book, God sends him once to go this way, and he goes that way. He doesn't go up to Syria, to Nineveh. He goes to Spain. That's disobedience. Why? You finally get the answer why. Chapter 4, verse 2, if you look at the book of Jonah. Lord, I know you are a compassionate God. I know that you forgive. And I didn't want those people forgiven. Think of that. I'm not going to preach to them. They might repent, and then they won't get punished. I want them punished. I'm God. I'm going to tell God the way things should go. So he goes the other way. A big storm. The sailors in the boat throw him overboard because they tried to figure out, what's wrong? The gods are punishing us. They're all pagans. Jonah says, it's me. They say, well, then we're going to have to throw you overboard. He says, all right. And they pray then to God, the true God they pray to in the text. It's so touching. You know, Lord, we're only doing this because we think it's the only way to get saved. Over he goes. Well, then the story tells us that some big fish swallowed him and dumped him back on the shore where he started from. Now, that may be novelesque, you know. That may be part of the embellishing of the story. So, and our text today picks up, and so God told him again. And that's where our story is today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Going to give him another chance. Isn't that mercy to Jonah? I mean, suppose that he'd gone overboard and drowned in a state of disobedience to God. That wouldn't have been too good. And so God gives him another chance. He loves him too. Jonah likes being loved, but he doesn't like loving the people he doesn't like. I wonder if that reminds anybody of anything. And so we have this second part where it ends by saying, you know, and so they all humbled themselves. Isn't that interesting? You see, in that part of the world, yeah, there's a sense of God. God, this guy comes, he says, God wants this, we better do it. We better repent. And so, it says, you see, when God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil ways, he repented of the evil. That's naham, it's a word in Hebrew. It means he changed his mind about this. Well, he didn't really change his mind because he can't. I mean, he's God. But he acted. I mean, if they hadn't repented, he would have gone through with this. He repented of the evil he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. And then the very next line, Jonah is in a huge mood. He's mad. And God said, are you right to be so angry? And that's when he says, I knew you were a merciful God. I knew if I came up here and preached, they'd change. And he's upset. So then a little later on in the story, it only goes on another few lines, he goes out and he sits outside the city and he builds himself a little shack. And God has a gourd grow up with great big leaves, you see. And so he sits under, this is nice, you know, nice big shady place to sit. So he sits there, he's comfy there. Then God sends a worm to eat the gourd, and so it dries up. And he is in. Oh, it's enough. Let me die. Let me die. That's enough. Let me die. A little exaggerated. And God says, you're upset about that gourd. Now, you can't create gourds. No, you had nothing to do with that. I did that. And you're upset about this gourd. And there's 120,000 people in that city who don't know their right hand from their left. And I shouldn't be worried about them. Now you see the lesson. Today we're going to meet lots of people. At least let's pray for them as we pass them on the street or wherever we are or when we're in school or wherever. Let's pray. And maybe, you see, the Lord will tell us to go talk to somebody, to encourage them, to help them. It doesn't have to be repent, but some way. And to realize that God cares about everybody, even all the people we don't like. Whether it be the Iraqis or Saddam Hussein or the next door neighbor, or God loves them all. And our heart has to be like that. And so the two lessons today, they're both about repentance. One is, what do we do when we repent? And the other is, how do we reach out to other people? It's a very beautiful way to look at this, huh? That's why Jesus says, that the judgment the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because of the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there's a greater than Jonah here. Now, on the feast of Yom Kippur, the feast of the atonement, in every year, in the afternoon service, the book of Jonah is read by the Jewish people, because he is the prophet of repentance. And that's why our Lord says this, you see. Jonah will rise with this. The men of Nineveh will rise. And they'll look better than you do. These pagans will look better than you do. Because Jonah went up there and preached and they changed. And here the God himself incarnate is standing among you and you're not changing. And do you hear the mercy in that? He's not mad. He's just saying, when will you get it? Come to me, repent for your sins. I'll give you the grace to weep over them. And then turn around and help others.